For those of you that don't know who I am, I'm Kate. Pete and I are just looking after the service this morning, and Pete made me speak. So, few little tiffs in our house about that, because I'll just tell you a little tiny bit of the journey to get here. Because last week he said, I'd like you to speak. And so I thought, right, I've got like quite a bit of time. Pete and Nathan are out of the house. I'll prepare some stuff. I had to go. It was all over the place. So I'm going to Pete. This is ridiculous. He goes, did you ask God? I'm like, yes, I asked God. God gave me nothing. And he's like, are you sure you asked God? Yes, I asked God. I'm like, I think you should speak. This is not going well. And you can imagine, maybe you can't imagine. Anyway, this is a little bit of an insight into the struggle. And so I left it because I was just like this, my notes, I had a few ideas, but nothing really gelled, nothing really made sense. And then P and Nathan went out again yesterday. And I thought, right, okay, I've got to make a good effort. I can't do a Daniel. Please God, never ever do this to me. I can't stand up just on a Sunday morning and talk. A little tiny bit, but not like a talk. And so Pete went out and I thought, I'm going to go for a walk. Because I was like, my head was like all over the place. I'm going to go for a walk. I did 20 minutes, met a lovely guy when I was out and had a little chat with him, and it was really nice. And I kept talking to God, and I was like, right, okay, God, I am really stuck because Pete does not want to speak today because he's, you know, doing worship and stuff. And God gave me a title. I was so excited. yeah, exactly. It needs a big clap. I was really excited. So I will speak on my title. I won't tell you what it is just yet because I just want to do a little preamble. But I got a title and then I went back and then I went through and some of the things that I'd already written fitted into the title, other things didn't. And it was great because it meant that I could get rid of the stuff that just wasn't right, wasn't the right thing to say. So anyway, that's a little bit of my journey to get here. And I am nervous, but that's okay. Because God's pushing me out of my comfort zone. I am loving it. Yeah, I am also a person that needs to wear glasses, otherwise I can't read my notes. So, anyway, I'm going to start off by just sharing a little bit about the season I believe we're in at the moment. Now, some of you are going to love this season, and I understand that some of you may not, but bear with us because we'll all learn something through it. And it probably won't be a massively long season, but it'll be a bit of a season, okay? And I think the season that we're in is about hearing individuals' journeys, where they're at, what they're going through, what God's done to bring them to this point, and bringing in more vulnerability and more honesty. And I really, really believe that Daniel and Tanya have started that journey. I think they were they went first. They started that journey when they came and they were honest about where they were at and what they wanted. I'm going to get emotional about this because they've done such an amazing job. Just where they're at with the church and where they want to see it moving forward. And we are in a transition period, but they were really honest and really open and really vulnerable. And I think that was the start of it. And then Dave spoke and Claire said something. Well, each person who are kind of going to be in the leadership team have spoken about some stuff. And so that's where you're going to be hearing for a little bit. A bit more more honesty. And we have been on that journey already, but I think this is a very definite part of that. But I really believe that it's not just the people that stand at the front that this is going to be encompassing. That's a good word. It's going to be everybody. And I believe that we're seeing that, and we've been seeing it already. But I think this is another thing that God's stirring. And I think he's got a reason for it. I don't think he's not just doing it to make us feel uncomfortable, because for some people that can be really uncomfortable. But I believe that he's doing it so we can feel more connected with each other. Because I think that vulnerability and honesty brings stronger connection, and I think that's really important. For those that need safety, I think it brings safety. It helps us feel safe because we just understand people a little bit more. It helps establish trust because, again, we get those insights. And for us, as a leadership team, we're going to lead by example. But I think that means that everybody leads by example as well. It's not just us that we can actually, it's not just something that's going to be within the church, but it's actually going to help release people outside of the church as well. So that's what we're going to be doing. Well, that's what I feel that we're going to be doing for a little while. So I just thought, I don't know how long it'll be for, but we'll decide that. But that's, in case you're thinking, why are people sharing their stories? And why are people saying this and that? That's why. So hopefully it'll help everybody see where we're at, but also take it away and take it out into the world, because people need us to be real. They need us to be honest, because they need Jesus, ultimately. And we can show Jesus through the way that we behave and the way that we are. So anyway, it's time to drink. My mouth always goes really dry. Does anybody else get that if there's someone at the front? Is it just me? Okay, not just me. A few others. My drink's also really hot. Which is great. Okay, so down to what I'm going to talk about, the title God gave me, because you're all waiting for that. You're like, she's spoken for a while. She hasn't said the title. Sorry. Okay, so the title that God gave me was, don't let words rob you of what God has for you. Don't let words rob you of what God has for you. Okay? So this is kind of part of my journey, but I don't think I'm alone in this. And I think words are really powerful. And we've heard probably a lot of what I'm going to say before, but I'm going to say it again. So I'm going to start by reading the Bible verse, because I also found a Bible verse, which also excited me. So we've got James 3, 5 and 6, and I'm actually going to read it from the Message. And apologies, I have got a Bible, but I have written it all out because it's bigger. My Bible's really small. Literally, it's so tiny, I need a magnifying glass. So I've written it out so I can read it, it's bigger. So James 3, verses 5 and 6 in the Message says, a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. Pretty harsh words. So yeah, words out of our mouth are powerful. But I'm going to take this in a slightly maybe different way than we've kind of looked at it before, because I think that this is how I have experienced people's words in my life. That actually it has, I've had times, and I'll go through a few of them, just so you get a few examples, of times where words have been that destroying, that whole, like, really, really powerful, you know, can throw mud on a reputation, can send the whole world up in smoke. There's been times in my life that I really feel that that's what it's been like. So yes, we have to be careful about what we're saying, but also it's the way we receive it as well. And I have had a number of things in my life, so I'm going to be honest and I'm going to be vulnerable with you this morning, that have had a real effect on me, things that people have said and things that people have done. So I'm just going to go through a few because I want to show you where they were redeemed. This is a good story. Might sound a little bit depressing to start with, but there's a good outcome for those of you that need to know towards the end. So when I was at school, and other people will identify with this in this room, I was really bullied. Mainly, to start with, because of the colour of my hair. Yippee. I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. I did pester my mum to dye my hair constantly, but she wasn't, you know, she wasn't having any of that. So I was ginger, I was carrot top. My friend told me, like, when Nathan was at school, she had a really good comeback for that called carrot top, because carrot tops are green. Yeah. She goes, well, I just said carrot tops are green, so you're stupid. Ah! Because I was just thinking about the carrot, which is orange. Anyway, so that would have been a really good comeback, wouldn't it? So yeah, I was bullied because of the colour of my hair. Not a lot I could do about it. But those words and stuff really had an impact, and it made me want to change things about myself because of that. Not great. Another example. I won't say what subject it was, just in case anybody in the room can then associate it with the person that I'm going to talk about. But I did a GCSE. No, that's not true. I did an A-level. And I didn't pass my A-level, and the teacher that partly taught the subject, because actually she wasn't around for pretty much the whole 2 years of the A-level, and I wasn't motivated enough to learn on my own, to say. She came into a pub where I was working and told me I'd let down the whole group, and I'd completely failed, and that I was useless. Okay, so there's me. I go away going, yeah. Yeah, let down the group, useless, failed my exam. Not great. And then another time when I started work, go through my whole life history. Hope you're enjoying this. Those who like stories. I worked for an organisation, which will again remain nameless. I realise that anybody listening to this. Oops. I got pulled into an office for my line manager, And they said to me, you know, we really, really love what you do. We think your work's great, but can you stop wearing your heart on your sleeve, please? Okay. I can't. Ought to do that, as you're well aware. I can't not do that, but it meant that I had to try and change my behaviour while I was working. Because yeah, I do wear my heart on my sleeve. But I was told that that was not a good idea. I think, yeah, I won't go, ooh, I nearly said something then that should give me away where I was working. I didn't. and then in more recent times, again, everybody will remain nameless, I was told that, and this situation has changed, but I was told that just having gut feelings about something wasn't quite legitimate enough. I had to kind of give facts and figures rather than just having a gut feeling. Now, some people are really good at that, and that's their ability and that's their gift, and I'm not good at that. I will quite often go on a gut feeling, and that's how God speaks to me. So yeah, that was the other one. So I was left feeling worthless, undervalued, I felt rejected. Generally, they piled up. There's loads and loads of other examples, but I don't think I was quite in the position that I am in now that I knew how to deal with those things. I kind of just slowly took them on board. They gradually eroded who I was. I started to try and behave in a different way. I started to try and be a different person. Not a good idea. Really not a good idea. But that's what I did. But I'm in a much more different position now than I ever was. Yeah. So, God redeemed all those things. And the words that people had spoken over me and into my life, he then combated throughout those times. And I'll tell you how. The first one, hair. If you go to other countries, they love ginger hair. I mean, they stroke it. They like basically treat you like a god. Not that that's a good thing. But, you know, it's amazing. They're just like, oh my goodness, look, because they just don't really have that colour anywhere. And so you then go, wow, I have got ginger hair. Look at me, I am beautiful. And it just was a different, God redeemed it. It put a different perspective on it. And God was going, that's how I see it. I see it's beautiful. And you're like, wow, okay, this is great. And so many people want to dye their hair ginger. I mean, I'm less ginger now, obviously, I'm quite grey. But I am naturally ginger. Yeah, exactly, Emily. people want to dye their hair ginger. And you're going, yep, it's a great colour. So God redeemed that situation. He's so good. The teacher situation was a slightly cheeky redeem, I have to say. Yeah, and I will share it just because I think it's a fun story. I basically applied for a job at the same school as this teacher taught to basically do her job because I'd done my degree in the A-level that I failed, and I did really well. I got down to the last two. I didn't want the job. I basically went because I wanted to show her that I could do her job. That's really annoying, isn't it? But I got down to the last two and I got interviewed by my old head teacher. It was very terrifying. I didn't get the job, but I didn't want it. I was a primary school teacher and I was applying to a secondary school. So I was never going to get it. And the only other person was a secondary trained. So, but the fact I got down to the last two and I basically showed this particular teacher that I could do her job. Anyway, maybe that's a cheeky redeem. I don't know. I don't know. And then the last two, wearing my heart on my sleeve and gut feelings. Probably will get emotional about that one. I've had lots of Bible verses and stuff like that over the years that have spoken to me about this, but Ben will put it up. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. And this is in the NIV. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I mean, God couldn't say any clearer, could he? He's just like, yeah, actually, the way I made you is amazing. It's really good. And that is really good because those are very strong words from God that have redeemed the words that other people have spoken over my life. And that's, he's amazing. You know, words are powerful. Human words, they can build up, but they can destroy it. But God's words are always going to build us up. And also, I write down little things that I find. So I write down stuff from books, from films, from people that I read stuff of. And Miranda Hart, the comedian. I had to get something in, didn't I? If it wasn't a song, it was going to be a quote from somebody. And she says, You're a unique, beautifully created person, infinitely loved, and with so much more to offer than you can possibly know. I'm sure she's a Christian. I'm sure there's... Yeah, she is. Okay, thanks for confirming that. The thing she comes out with, I don't know whether you follow her a bit. I follow her a little bit. Not on Facebook at the moment. I'm not doing that for Lent. But yeah, she puts out a newsletter and stuff, and it's always so affirming and so positive, and actually it's so biblical. So I'll read it again. You're a unique, beautifully created person, infinitely loved, with so much more to offer than you can possibly know. I mean, God couldn't redeem the situations better, could he? And even any situations now that I encompass, that I come across, I can remember those words. I've written down many, many other words that God said to me. I just want to encourage you guys that actually, if things have been spoken over you or things that you've begun to believe, hopefully you're in a stronger position than me and it hasn't affected you as much. But if it has, go to God and ask what he thinks. I know this is something that Tanya talks about a lot, and she's had a massive impact on me over the years to go, well, what does God think? And I know she tells a story of one time, God going, talking to her about what he really thought of her. And it had an impact on her, and that had an impact on me, because I was like, oh yeah, hadn't thought about asking God about that particular aspect. So talk to him. Ask him, get him to give you those specific words from him that will redeem any situation. Also, he's taught me to give less S-H-1-T's. That's how my dad would say it over the years. And I don't mean that so they don't care about people. It just means that what people say, he's given me that ability to take what people say less to heart and to hurt less than it ever would have done. So that's really good. I do care about what people think, but it doesn't have that damaging effect that it would have had previously, which is good. So in Ephesians 6, verse 16, in the NIV, it says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Say that again? That word's difficult. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Wasn't there the second time? And now, I know we can take that in different ways, but for me, that Bible verse meant that I could hold that shield up, and those words that people were saying would just bounce off. Now, I have to be really connected with God to be able to do that, and the times when I lose a little bit of that connection, sometimes they can kind of sneak in a little bit, but then I have to go back to God and say, actually, God, remind me again what you said. Or I look back at the Bible verses and I go, actually, you said that about me. And then those arrows just bounce off and they don't have the effect. And I mean, Daniel was talking about having the full armor of God, and that's, you know, we need the full armor of God. But for me today, that's particularly significant. It's having that shield so those arrows can bounce off. Because to me, they're about negative words and all those kind of things. So human words can damage, but God's words can redeem. God can change our situation around by speaking his words to us. But also, we can help change situations for others too. So this is not just about... It is partly about me, obviously, and the way that God's spoken to me and the way that God's brought me on this journey over these years. But actually, it's about all of us. And, you know, we do need to be careful about the things that we say to people, and those things that we speak over people. And we're asked to be encouraging. And the world really needs that, doesn't it, at the moment? It's pretty rubbish at times, isn't it? It's pretty... The news is not great. That's the joy of social media. I'm literally looking at no news, nothing. He keeps going, have you seen this? Nope. There was a very lovely... He did show me a very lovely video of Chris with a giant tortoise at Noah's Ark. I did have to see that, so if you haven't seen it. We need to build each other up. Basically, so you don't end up damaging people and making them end up like me and having to go on quite a long journey. I'm 50 now. It's quite a lifelong lesson, isn't it, to learn, you know, basically put your shield up and get rid of those horrible words. So in Isaiah 50, verse 4 in the NIV, it says, the sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen, like one being instructed. I really like that verse. That's kind of, that is about us. Not only being careful what we say, but also listening to God, hearing what he's saying. You know, morning by morning, he wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. And so actually for all these things, unless you really get a word from God and you can hold on to that, sometimes everything else is just not enough. But for me, even just having like a few Bible verses or a few key pictures to hold on to makes you go, yeah, I know I'm valuable. I know what that person's saying isn't true. I know that what's going on is not really reality, but actually, God, this is what you think of me, and that is really, really important. And so we need to be well-instructed, have a well-instructed tongue, and we need to be listening to God every morning. In Jeremiah 29:11, God's so encouraging. We know it really well, this verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And that's what he did for me. He gave me a hope and a future. He spoke those words over me. He gave me the ability to rebuff those words that were not helpful and not positive. And I have really strong things to stand on. And everybody can get those Bible verses, but everybody can get a specific individual word. I remember one time God told me that I was a diamond with many facets. And I thought, oh, that's really lovely. Like that one. And I thought, that was very specific and very personal to me. Yeah, everybody knows what a diamond looks like, and they also know how valuable and precious they are. And I'm like, yeah, thank you, God. You've showed me I'm valuable, I'm precious. This is what you think of me. And that's pretty amazing. Now, I'll try and share, because it's right on my list. A song that I kind of find it really hard. Determined, because it is something that God's saying. The song that Ben sang, I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God. I feel like that's my song. That's the song that God gave me. It ruins me every time I hear it, like how great they are. Every time I hear that, it reminds me of my grandma. But this one, I think, I'm gonna get you, if it's okay, to play it again, so people can really just listen. Just listen to the words, because actually I think it's really powerful. All the words in it are really powerful, but I really, really particularly clung on to, I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God. This is a slight aside story, but I feel it's important to share. I have not been ever a person that can travel on their own, be on their own, do things on their own. Tanya asked me a little while ago to go to Eugene with her. Everything inside me, that's the other side of the world as far as I'm concerned, it's West Coast America, for a conference, and I was like, my initial response was no, I can't do it. I don't know whether this again comes back to, you know, things that people have spoken over me over the years, and I just had no confidence to go and do anything. I had to have somebody as a security blanket. I was asked to go to Eugene. I'm going, no. Tammy's going, have you asked God? No. What do I want to ask him for? I don't want him to say yes. It's like my worst nightmare. And so I asked God, and he said, yeah, you've got to go. And I'm like, even like before I went, I don't know whether I've told you this. Even before I went, I was like, maybe I'll just hide my passport, get to the airport and go, oops, forgot. I didn't do that. Daniel very nicely took us to the airport and looked after us and saw all the complete meltdown beforehand and everything else, the tears, everything, the mess. But actually, this was a song that got me there. I would never, ever have got there if it hadn't been the support of my friends and family around. But actually this song was something really powerful, and so it got me on that plane and it got me to the conference, and it was the right thing to do, and I felt sick, and it didn't get rid of all those, oh my gosh, what am I doing? But it got me there and it was the right thing to do, and yeah, it was kind of a breakthrough moment for me. So, but it's also a song that kind of just goes, we're free from all those things that people have spoken over us. All those negative things, and actually God just goes, you're my child, you're amazing. I mean, how much better can it get than that, for God to go, you're my child, and you're like, wow. So I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to pray a Bible verse over you, because I love it. And then if that's okay, Ben, I'm just going to get Ben and the team to play the song again, but I just wanted to listen and just take in the words. Now, it may not mean as much to you as it does to me, but it means a lot. Okay, so I'm going to pray. Thank you, God. You're amazing. I'm going to pray Ephesians 3:16-19. I pray that out of his glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Father, we thank you that your love is so massive, that it covers everything. Father, we thank you that you have a word for each one of us here today that we will be able to hold on to, and it will carry us through life. Your words sustain, your words redeem. And we thank you, Father, that you have a word for each one of us. May we carry that through this coming week, these coming months, these years. And we thank you that you love us, that you see us as so valuable and so amazing. There's nothing that we can do that will separate us from you. And we thank you, Father, for all your richness and all your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So just listen and take in the words. And then you can have coffee.
Your blood flows through.